Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Brent.
And I'm Ken. And this is We Looked It Up For You.
This week, we are going to ask the question and hopefully answer it definitively. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But we're asking the question, should schools start later?
Okay, I got a question for you.
Okay. Hit me.
What to you is the ideal start time?
Oh, ideal? Not based on science, just what would Brent want as a start time for school or
exactly.
Work or whatever?
Oh, exactly.
Honestly, my ideal start time would be 9:30. Actually, 9:30 would be okay. You know what? Let's cut the difference. 9:45, Ken. What about you?
I like 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock sounds like a great time. If you want to come into the office 9, sure, but you don't have to be there until 10. That would be my preference.
What time would you be willing to work until if you could get that 10 o'clock start time?
I would stay till 6:30. So about a 7.5 hour workday.
I think 6 is where I would go to too. And I mean, that's 8 hours. I don't think people should be working beyond 8 hours a day anyways, personally. I know it's never going to happen, but anyhow, let me start off with what the CDC, for those of you who don't know what the CDC is, it's the Center for Disease Control, what the recommendations are for school starting time. Did you know the CDC gave recommendations?
You know, I didn't before I looked into this, and I was really surprised that the CDC, of all people, was giving recommendations.
Right, I know. You think the Center for Disease Control, but you know what? If they can regulate, if the government could regulate ice cream, they can put forth a guideline right. for school starting time. So let me tell you what I found, see if it matches what you found. So I read from a 2005 press release of theirs that they don't believe that adolescents are getting enough sleep. They said that teenagers need to have at least 8 hours of sleep a night, and younger people, younger kids, need 9 hours, and that 2 out of 3 high schoolers at that time were not getting the recommended amount of sleep per night, which is pretty staggering if you think about it. 66% of our teenage population not getting, being sleep deprived, essentially.
I actually found some numbers that are a little bit higher than yours in terms of whether or not students are getting enough sleep.
So, okay, where'd you find that from?
According to the National Sleep Foundation, they said that 87% of high school students were not getting enough sleep.
Hmm.
So getting less than 8.5 hours of sleep per night.
Yeah, it seems like, okay, I mean, because I found other places besides the CDC too, like whether it's 66 or 80 or something, there's a huge portion of adolescents
right.
that are not getting what they need.
So, you know, I think one of the things that I asked when I first looked into this was, well, why don't we just tell these kids to get some sleep? I mean, honestly, just go to bed earlier.
By the way, great strategies with teenagers. Just tell them what to do, and they always comply. Yeah. Do you want to delve into that a little bit more? Like, why it doesn't work?
Sure. I mean, so I looked into that a little bit because that seemed like the obvious solution. Hey, tell your kid to go to bed earlier. But like you mentioned, that might not always work. And it really comes down to a couple things. One, teenagers start to have a change in their biorhythm. And so they have a delayed secretion of melatonin. And also their sleep drive, which I didn't even know was a thing, but their sleep drive or the pressure that they feel to fall asleep accumulates much more slowly once kids become teenagers. And So, yeah, did you know about that? A sleep drive as a thing?
No, I've known that, or I've noticed that in myself personally. As I've gotten older,
mm-hmm.
I'll be fine, and then all of a sudden, within a half hour, I'm like, I need to go to bed. But that definitely wasn't the case when I was 22, 23. Like, I felt like I could just go all night. Like, I almost had to force myself to get into bed some days.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling the same way. So the point is, though, these teenagers are now going to bed later and later because, because of change in their biology. And so this can push their sleep back by up to 2 hours. And according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, most teens can't fall asleep before 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I actually saw the research from the American Academy of Pediatrics as well. I mean, their circadian rhythms are just different than adults or really young kids. And asking them to, whatever, like you said, go to bed earlier is like asking them to just fight their biology. It's not fair.
Well, plus there's cell phones now, there's social media, video games. I mean, there's so many distractions.
Yeah, but I would say those are working in conjunction. They're exacerbating the problem, right? They're not like, they're not creating the problem. They're just amplifying it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you come across any research that told you what happened to adolescents that aren't getting enough sleep?
No.
Oh, I did. Well, that's okay. Good.
Tell me.
Good that I looked that up for you, Ken. So according to CDC, teenagers, adolescents that don't get enough sleep are more likely to be overweight, are more likely to be depressed, perform poorly academically, engage in drinking, smoking, and illicit drugs, and not exercise enough. So, I mean, all of those are really bad things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we would want basically the future of our country to be at higher, you know, exposed to higher risk for those things. So the fact that the CDC was tackling sleep deprivation makes sense to me. These are all symptoms, side effects that you would want to weed out of your society.
You know, it's so interesting that this entire argument of pushing back school time is about something as simple as just getting more sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, like, you and I, we didn't talk about this today, but we've talked about this before, just like how poor we feel when we're sleep deprived. I've noticed it in you personally, Ken. I know your temper kicks up when you're sleep deprived.
That's sorry to
say. I've witnessed that firsthand. Yeah.
Yeah. After a couple nights of not getting enough sleep, I get pretty temperamental.
Yeah.
You know, I found this interesting, by the way. According to the National Sleep Foundation, they said that 28% of students said they fell asleep at school at least once a week.
Really?
That's so many students.
That is a lot. Do you know if it was high school, middle school?
I don't know.
Just kids in general.
Kids in general, yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of along that, like in terms of, you had mentioned shifting times. I found something really interesting too. Okay. So the CDC recommends that school shouldn't start any earlier than 8:30. Now, you know, from my experience growing up, most schools started at 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. you know, and I know that's not the same nationwide, but I mean, we're talking about basically a half hour shift. I think right. The average starting time across the nation is 8:03. So you're looking at roughly half an hour.
Okay. So I actually found something about this. 93% of high schools start before 8:30 in the U.S.
Yeah, the vast majority are starting before the CDC's recommended time.
Mm-hmm. And that's the same for middle school, too. I think 83%, I found, start before 8:30. So most schools are not following the recommendation.
They're ignoring the CDC. Nothing bad happens from ignoring the CDC, right, Ken?
What could go wrong?
Yeah, okay. But like, let me go into the shift a little bit. Because my initial thinking regarding this before I delved into it a little bit more was like, okay, if you just push back the starting time of school by half an hour, kids are just going to go to bed a half hour later. They're not going to get any more sleep. They'll just shift their schedule. But that's actually not the case. So I found a study that looked at students and they shifted the starting time, like I said, from 8 to 8:30. And they found that that extra half hour shift actually led to basically 34 more minutes of extra sleep a night. Because I just want to state that. That's weird. They moved back the starting time by a half hour, and it didn't lead to a half hour more of sleep. It actually led to 34 more minutes of extra sleep. Like kids, yeah. So like that half hour, not only were kids sleeping that extra half hour, it actually gained more than the half hour in terms of sleep benefits.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird to me.
I think that's weird too. You know, I saw another study of a similar vein where they move the starting time from 7:15, which is super early, to 8:40. And so they did this on 18,000 high school students in Minneapolis. And this was back in 97, 98. And they wanted to see if the students would go to bed later. Well, it turns out students were going to bed at the same time anyways. So they just ended up getting about an, on average, about an hour more sleep per night.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so what we... sounds like that initial first thought that I had and what you thought too is that kids would just go to bed later, but they're not. They went to bed at the same time. There really is something to be said about that circadian rhythm. They just want to go to bed at a certain time and they just sleep later. In fact, that the research that I was referencing said that the percent of kids when they shifted by that half hour who got 8 or more hours of sleep went from like 2 in 5 to nearly half.
Wow.
So it was a really huge increase.
You know, on a side note, we're talking about whether or not kids will go to sleep later if school times were pushed back later, right? And so the answer is no. But I actually found an interesting study that went in the opposite direction.
Okay.
So they wanted to see if kids would go to bed earlier if school started earlier.
Okay. The poor kids. Poor kids that had engaged in this. All right.
So I think they pushed... I think they pushed school start time by like an hour earlier to see if the kids would go to sleep an hour
earlier. Oh, no. What happened?
The result was nothing. The kids went to bed at the exact same time, and they just got an hour less sleep.
Oh, that's awful. That's awful. Yeah,
so it turns out you really can't affect the kids that way.
Yeah. Let me just ask you personally, do you notice that your bedtime changes based off of when you have to get up in the morning? Oh, not just like a one-off, not like, hey, whatever, Thursday, I got to get up earlier. I'm talking for like a sustained period of time.
Maybe a little bit, but not that much, to be honest.
Yeah. I've heard there's people that just have naturally later circadian rhythms, you know? I know.
Yeah, we actually talked about that in one of our sleep episodes, right?
We had two sleep episodes, creatively named Sleep in Your Health, Part 1 and Part 2. We did talk about that, yeah. I've gotten a little better about that as I've aged, but yeah, I agree with you for the most part. You know, I came across some other research too advocating for later sleep times, and this was from the Rand Corporation, and they claimed that over the course of a decade, so 10 years, that the U.S. could save $83 billion by moving back school starting times.
Really?
Yes.
Can you help me understand that number a little better?
No, I can't. Yeah, why not?
Okay, that's it. Thanks, guys.
That's it. I'm just going to stop there. Yeah, okay. So they claimed a couple things. One, so if you push back starting times, that it would lead to an increase in kids graduating high school and college. And it was somewhere in the vicinity of 10%. But that's a substantial portion of kids. And then obviously, having a more educated populace, more high school and college graduates would benefit the economy. And, you know, we talked about this actually today off air, the concept of just marginal improvement, like leading to little marginal changes in the society as early as like high school and college in terms of graduation rate would lead to substantial benefits for our economy down the road. They were saying the same thing. Look, get more kids college and high school educated. It'll help us out. Okay?
Right.
But also they went with another thing too. They were saying that the leading cause of car accidents the leading cause of death in teenagers is car accidents. And a lot of that is due to sleep deprivation. So it would save lives and help the economy in that way. And also that sports injuries, of all things, would go down as well, too. I guess there was some sort of correlation between sleep deprivation and sports injuries. So between just having more kids, college and high school, you know, the completion rates, upping those and car accidents and sports injuries, that we'd save $83 billion over 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I want to talk about grades a little bit, though, because presumably, if you get more sleep, you would get better grades, right?
That's all the research I read supported that too.
But what did you find about that? Because from what I found, it seemed a little inconclusive.
Well, what I found is that academic performance went up. Now, I didn't clarify whether that was just grades or standardized tests or things like that. But like I just mentioned, high school and graduation completion rates increased when kids had enough sleep. So, I mean, the only way you don't get through high school and college is by failing it. So, must have led.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see the graduation rate numbers, so that's good to know that it helps. Mm-hmm. What I did find, though, was, you know, in that Minneapolis experiment I mentioned earlier, where a school district took 18,000 high school kids and moved their start time back from 7:15 to 8:40, they looked at their grades as a result of moving back that school start time. And they found that while the students did have a small increase in their standardized test scores, that the increase was not statistically significant. And
it was
so
small.
It was small. It was not statistically significant. So it doesn't really tell you that they're doing any better. And then I saw a separate study in Chicago where they also looked at later start times for high school students. And they found, this was interesting, they found that students have lower scores in whatever their first period classes, but not later on in the day. Just in general. And so it doesn't matter what the subject is, whether it's math or reading or science or whatever, students have somewhere between 9 to 17% lower test scores in their first period class. And that's compared to if they had taken the same class later on in the day.
Yeah, you know, I have a couple thoughts regarding what you said. So first of all, like, typically kids take anywhere between 6 and, I mean, at most 8 classes a semester when they're in high school. So when you're talking about, oh, it's just the first period where there's a noticeable like academic decline, dude, that's like anywhere between 16% and 12.5% of your day. I mean, that's over 10% under any model. That's a huge chunk. So
it is.
If there's like a system where you're gonna suck for 10% of your day, you probably shouldn't use that system.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, what else was interesting about this is first period also had much higher absences compared to the same classes later on in the day. And so kids are just not showing up for first period, but showing up later in the day. And so it was unclear if the increase in test scores was because kids were just showing up and learning something versus not showing up at all. So, but either way, it is significant.
Dude, I remember us in college, like staying up until like 8 in the morning and then ditching our first period.
What were we thinking?
Oh, dude, we weren't thinking at all, clearly. Like, we were such lazy bums, you know? But I can't even remember the amount of times that I just had an 8 o'clock class and was like, nope, bed instead.
Right.
Yeah.
So just to wrap up that train of thought, there was another study in Illinois that looked at pushing back school start time by an hour. And they found that if they did that, that 1 hour pushback start time would increase math and reading scores by 3 percentile, which, it's not nothing.
No, I mean,
but it's not like dramatic.
I don't know.
I think this is why I'm a little bit, at least when it comes to the, grade argument, I'm a little bit suspect on this, because it seems like there's positive indicators, but not definitive proof that it's actually much better.
Well, look, I think like when you're talking about like a 3% performance increase on like a standardized test, yeah, that's not a big deal, but you don't focus on that one. You focus on the things like teens not being overweight, depressed, drinking, smoking, using illicit drugs, and then also the graduation rates. I think that's probably the more important thing, because you talk about the difference between in your income in terms of graduating high school versus non-graduating high school. I've read, and this was years ago, that over the course of a lifetime, that represents like $1 million difference in income over your life. And I'm sure now that difference is even greater with inflation and things like that. So yeah, whatever, like maybe standardized test scores isn't the most compelling argument, but there's a lot of compelling reasons for kids to sleep in.
What are kids going to do if they don't drink, smoke, or do drugs? Just kidding, kids. Don't do that. Drugs are bad.
Yeah. You know, I heard one other argument for postponing school start times, making them
later.
Okay. And that was this, that basically, if you have kids start school later, they're going to be at home alone less time after school. and they're not going to get in trouble as much. Did you ever get in trouble after school? Did you ever do dumb things after school when you were alone?
This is really stupid. I was probably in elementary school at this time, I want to say, and I was home alone. I would be home alone for about a couple hours after school, and one day I got hungry and decided I wanted to make some ramen.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was a kid, we had a stove that you had to light by hand.
Okay.
So you turn on the gas, and then you had to light it with a match.
Mm-hmm.
I lit a piece of paper on fire, or a piece of paper on fire to you know, light the stove, and then I put that piece of paper in the trash can.
Oh.
While it was still on fire. And then I finished making my ramen and turned around to realize that I had set the entire trash can on fire.
Oh, jeez. Now, did you not anticipate that the... I mean, like, how did you not put two and two together that lighting or putting a lit piece of paper into a trash can would not cause the whole thing to light up?
Dumb kid. What can I say? Yeah. I was stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I came home. It was funny because I melted half of the trash can. It was a plastic trash can.
How old were you?
And, I was probably 10.
Okay.
And, yeah, and I think my grandmother actually came by and found me eating ramen with a melted trash can in the kitchen and, like, smoke everywhere. She's like, what the heck happened here? It's like, oh, I made ramen.
And almost burned down the house.
Right.
So this is exactly what I'm talking about with this argument. Like, because I did a lot of dumb things too. Like, I rode on the back of trucks. I lit things on fire too. Like, we had an arsonist club when I was 10. Like, we would just go and...
Oh, really?
Dude, and here's the thing. There was nothing malicious about it. We weren't trying to light people's houses on fire, but we just would go out and light, like, oh, here's a stick. Let's light this on fire, you know? And I was a dumb kid. Didn't know anything. Or didn't know any better. I was 10. And that's the type of stuff that happens when you're left alone after school, unsupervised. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So that argument spoke to me. We've got to prevent arson. Have school start later. You know, that's the only way we're going to solve the nation's teenage arson problem. Yeah. Okay. So it seems like there's a lot of evidence in terms of why teenagers can't get out of bed early, and we should probably start schools a little bit later. But did you find any arguments for why we should maintain the status quo or even start school earlier?
You know, I did. I have to say I'm not convinced by them, but I will present them anyways.
Okay, present away.
So the big one was transportation, of all things.
Yeah, I saw this too.
Yeah, and so the idea is quite simple. Parents have to go to work at a certain time. And so
not during the quarantine.
That's true. Yeah. But normally, most people are getting to work about, you know, somewhere between 8 and 9 a.m. And they have to get their kids to school before that. Mm-hmm. And so the argument is, if you push back school start times, then how are parents going to get their kids to school? Right? I mean, either parents will have to go to work later, or parents will just wake kids up at the same time anyways and drop them off at school early.
Okay. So I have a couple things to say about that. So first of all, I've mentioned before that I've worked in education before. That is definitely true with some families. I have gotten to a school as early as like 6:30 a.m. And I have seen, it's not many, but like maybe a handful of kids already waiting in front of school.
Right.
Wow. Because they have a parents that maybe need to be somewhere at 6 and they're just like, sorry that it's dark outside, sit in front of the school for 2 hours. Pretty awful. But, you know, there's a swath of our societies. They're working class families. They can't afford childcare. And so you're right. If we push back the start time, that means it doesn't matter for some kids. They're just going to be out in front of school for like more hours at a time.
You know, in fact, I saw an argument that pushing back the school start time is actually giving an unfair advantage to wealthier families. And the argument is that only white-collar jobs have flexible start times. So parents from white-collar job families can afford to take their kids into school later. But people with blue-collar jobs have much stricter start times.
Do you believe that argument?
I don't know what to think of that. It makes sense. And so the idea is basically these rich kids would be getting more sleep.
I will say this, again, like having worked in education, there are blue-collar jobs, too, that start later. You know, there's people that are waitresses, maybe people that are mechanics or whatever, and sometimes, I would say for some families, having that later start time would be better because there's a segment of adults that sleep in, too, because of their job.
Right.
I don't think it's specifically limited to white-collar jobs.
Why don't we provide public transportation or transportation for all kids to go to school? Doesn't that solve the problem completely?
Yeah, but okay, so let me say this again. As someone who's been involved in the school system before, I don't think a lot of people realize when you ask for something like this, like school districts need money to implement it. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to offer a bunch more transportation, then you got to pay the salaries of the bus drivers. You got to pay for vehicles to purchase them, the maintenance of those vehicles. I mean, there's a lot associated with it. And school districts are getting not enough money to fund what we would like to accomplish within them. Let me put it that way. I'm going to say this too. Like right now we're going through the middle of the COVID recession, and it is going to be awful for school districts next year. So one of the things they're looking at cutting is like bus drivers. How do we reduce transportation costs? So,
You know, yeah. I actually found something by the Brookings Institute, and they looked at the cost of implementing a later school start time. Mm-hmm. And what they found was that most of the costs would be due to providing transportation for the kids. And
yeah.
They found that the cost per student would be about $2,000 per year.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, most of that cost is providing transportation. So obviously that costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about that is they make the argument that that $2,000 investment will return a 9-time return because of two things. One, the students would have better projected future earnings, and therefore they would have a better impact on the economy. And number two, and I hadn't even thought about this, that schools depend on attendance for funding. And yeah. Because more kids will attend school, schools will get better attendance and therefore more federal funding. So you can make up at least for part of a shortfall that way.
Okay. So I just ran some numbers real quickly. When you were talking about $2,000 per kid, were mm-hmm. you talking about kids who access the transportation or district-wide?
I think it's per kid that uses the transportation.
Okay, but they were hoping to provide it to everyone?
I think so.
So I did some numbers, and I said, okay, let's say we had a school district that had 10,000 kids in it, which is reasonable. By the way, Ken and I both live in California, so around here, that's a reasonable-sized district. If you take 10,000 kids, $2,000 a year, we're talking about $20 million, Ken.
Only $20 million.
Now, I mean, that you can't just say, hey, we're going to provide that, you know, like if you're right. looking at providing a solution like that, that needs to be something that the state steps in and says, hey, we're going to do this. This is totally making sense now, because when we're looking at the research, it's like overwhelming why that this is beneficial for kids in our society. Like it's going to prevent obesity. It's going to prevent depression. I mean, we're talking about saving lives, saving on medical bills, like having a healthier society. But when you talk about $20 million
per school district,
per every mid-sized school district, it's a lot of money. And I get why we haven't done this despite the overwhelming medical evidence.
Well, I don't know if you know this. I didn't know this, actually, but California actually passed the bill in 2019.
I came across this research. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, so yeah, SB 328 says that high school cannot start earlier than 8:30 a.m. and middle schools cannot start any earlier than 8 o'clock. And this has to be done by no later than July 1st, 2022.
Yeah, they've had 3 years to phase it in. So for those of you who are listening in California and your high school is starting at 8 o'clock and screaming, hey, that's illegal now, they got a couple of years to phase it in. Yeah. This was done by Governor Newsom.
Yeah. That's a lot of schools, because I saw a 2012 estimate that 3 out of 4 middle and high schools in California start before 8:30. So tons of schools have to change.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. So Governor Newsom passed this. I don't, like, I'm not heavily into politics or whatever, but I like Governor Newsom because it sounds like this bill was contentious. He was running into problems passing it. Mm. But this guy listens to science, and he'll do stuff even if he has to take a political hit for it too. He took a hit when we put in the social distancing and the quarantine, like the lockdown, as quickly as we did with COVID. But he ended up being right. Like, California did not get the negative effects that other states like New York did. And I think it was because of his actions, personally.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I thought was interesting as part of this whole, you know, Senate hearing or discussion about this bill was the pro-pushing school back later camp. They made the argument that in California, most schools actually started around 9 a.m. during the 70s and 80s.
Really?
Yeah. And
I didn't know that.
School start times were moved up earlier to match with parents' work schedules.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I had no idea that was the case.
Yeah, me either.
Huh.
So going back to, you know, even the 8:30 is still earlier than what we did 40, 50, 60 years ago.
Well, you know what? The workplaces are just going to have to take our advice, Ken, and start later too, to match with the kids' schedules.
You know, that's probably not a bad idea, right?
You know what, honestly, I was saying it a little facetiously, but yeah, why not? Like, if all the science is showing that kids are benefiting by starting later, why not just move our start times later? Or like, hey, here's a crazy idea. Let adults work remotely maybe for even the first 2 hours of the day. Like, catch up on emails, things like that. I think it's very clear that we don't need to be in a physical office every day, let alone like every single hour of every single day. There's stuff that can be done from home.
I mean, for a lot of office workers, I can imagine a scenario where you start your day at 9:30 at home. Now, you don't have to get up as early because you don't have to get ready. And then you work from 9:30 till, let's say, 11:30, 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come in the office at 1:30.
Yeah.
You know, you have your lunch, you have your shower, you get ready, you're awake, you get on the road, and then you come into work.
Yeah. Now, by the way, this has other benefits too, just beyond the health things. Like, I don't know how much of the country or I know we have listeners in other countries too have to deal with this, but in LA, traffic is a real issue. My wife, she lives like maybe 20 miles, or excuse me, she works 20 miles away from from where we live, but it takes her an hour and a half to get home. If we could stagger start times, you know, we're going to reduce traffic load. We help kids. Like, you know what, Ken? Let's just run for office and make this our platform. That's it. We're the sleep party.
Just one platform, the sleep party. Wow.
Yeah. I can imagine we'd be popular.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
It. Hey, well, what do you think about, I don't know, what's like a controversial issue? Like, what do you think about fundraising? I don't care. Don't have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about abortion? We need more sleep.
Yeah.
What do you think about religion in schools? We need more sleep.
Dude, I think we're onto something here. Yeah.
Okay, so as a point of curiosity, I started to look up average school start times in other countries because I got curious.
Hmm, okay.
So I looked up a couple other countries. Brazil, for example, their school starts at 7 a.m. on average.
Ooh.
So you want to talk about early.
Or Brazilians.
Yeah. China. It is awful. China, they start at 7:30.
Mm.
France is 8 a.m.
Okay. On par with us.
Yeah. And Japan is on average 8:30.
Huh. I actually looked at states within the United States and found the state that has the earliest starting time on average versus the state that has the latest starting time.
Okay. I want to know this.
Okay, so earliest average starting time is Louisiana at 7:40 a.m. That's their average start time.
Oh, that's not, I mean, it's not that much earlier than 8.
No, they definitely got Brazil beat. Let's put it that way. Okay, do you just take a guess? What do you think is the state with the latest start time?
Let's see. How about, and I'm going to say something terrible, how about Maine? Because it seems like a pretty chill, laid-back state.
Oh, no. You were definitely right. It's definitely a chill state, or maybe I should say a chilly state. Alaska. 8:33 a.m. 8:33 a.m. Is the latest one. Yeah.
That's not even that late, though.
According to all the science we've been talking about, Ken, that's a pretty pivotal difference.
I mean, why don't we just let kids sleep in and, you know, let them go to class at 10?
Yeah, again, sleep party.
I mean...
the answer to all our nation's problem.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
So they go to school at 10, and then by 5 o'clock, they're done with school. And that's right around the time that a lot of parents start getting off from work, and you can pick up your kid. So we only pay for them to get to school.
Exactly. They're not left unsupervised,
they're not
lighting
unsupervised.
Fires
right.
while cooking ramen.
And you can leave them in the morning because they're sleeping anyways.
Yeah.
The only problem is you got to make sure they actually get to school because they might not wake up.
Yeah.
Or they might stay home and watch cartoons or something.
Yeah. Literally, it does seem like the crux of this problem revolves around transportation, like we said. And it's expensive. Because if the parents aren't taking the kids to school, we need to provide busing. And yeah, man, $20 million per district, that's a lot. I can't believe it costs that much.
It seems like quite a bit, doesn't it?
We just need to get like drones, like Amazon drones to come up and just pick them up, like, by some sort of crane and fly them to school, you know? That'll be cheaper than buses, right? Definitely sounds cheaper.
We could also do homeschooling or just classes from home.
I think the issue really is supervision there. It goes like, because I wouldn't trust a 12-year-old kid to stay at home alone all year. Yeah.
Making ramen for lunch, burning down trash cans every day.
Exactly. And I'll just tell you this. Like I said, I have friends in the educational field. During this quarantine where kids have been at home all day, a lot of kids, I would say this, way more kids proportionally than or not are doing a lot less work without the supervision. And who would have guessed, you know, a 13-year-old without a teacher's help wouldn't be writing an essay, you know, on Shakespeare. It's just not happening, you know, when they're at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything else about this. That's pretty much all I found.
No, I'm pretty much done talking with you too.
Okay, so sleep party.
Sleep party.
Get more sleep.
2020.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the podcast. Please remember to subscribe and share the podcast with friends and family.
Also, we'd really like to communicate with you. So if you have any questions, comments, or even ideas for upcoming shows, please reach out to us at contact@welookedituporyou.com. We also have Twitter, and you can reach us there @welookedituporyou. 4 and the letter U. Thank you, everyone.